Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, we'll start with President Trump and the issue of Iran. He's now shifted his tone on Iran from locked and loaded to sort of wait and see and avoid a military conflict. He's playing down the war talk after a Saudi strike. He also is getting a lot of pushback from lawmakers, many on the Democratic side, who are not happy with his deference to Saudi Arabia.
Well, look, the relationship between America and Saudi Arabia is nothing short of disgraceful. And we have to do nothing but examine the history of what we have put up with Saudi Arabia. This is a country that, for example, says it is committed to the rights of women, and Saudi Arabia is a country which does anything but that. We have a crown prince who has been tied into the murder, at least by accusation of some, of a prominent journalist, Khashoggi. And we know that after 9/11, of the plane taking off with the Saudis, and a number of the, you know, assassins were, in fact, Saudi. Some weren't, but some were. And so what we have is a very difficult relationship with a country that really doesn't deserve our respect. And so now, when Saudi Arabia is attacked, we have a president who makes bellicose sounds, but all of a sudden is saying, I don't want a war. And we wonder about that. I mean, he was trying to get out of Afghanistan, and at the same time, he was making anti-Iranian sounds over and over again. And now he's saying, I don't want a war. And he kicks out his national security advisor, who is a warmonger if there ever was one. So it's one thing to say a lot of things, but then in terms of what happens to you and to your country, do you stick with it or do you say, just kidding? And apparently Trump is smart enough to know that Americans have no taste for war right now.
Meantime, he was in New Mexico campaigning and rallying backers there to turn the state red. The president made pocketbook appeal for re-election in the Democratic-leaning state, telling voters that his energy policies have made the state wealthier and warning that the gains could disappear if the proposal known as the Green New Deal takes effect. He said the Democrats want to completely annihilate New Mexico's economy.
Well, he's doing what he has to do. He lost New Mexico by a good deal. And I'm sure that the theoreticians are saying, you got to go in there and you got to turn this thing around. You can threaten and you can lie and you can do all of those things which you're famous for, but you better do it now because it will be too late later on. You can expect to see more of this kind of thing. And of course, as people mentioned on yesterday's roundtable, the idea that, for example, Michigan, where all the car companies are, is now in chaos, that ain't going to help this guy, because if he makes any move to come out against the unions, he loses some of that lower middle class base that he had.
Meantime, in Washington Square Park in New York City, there was Elizabeth Warren, one of the Democratic presidential candidates, of course, a U.S. senator from Massachusetts. She was facing thousands of cheering supporters. She's been really bringing in the crowds, estimated around 20,000, Alan. And she said Trump is corruption in the flesh. She said corruption has put our planet at risk, it's broken our economy, and it's breaking our democracy.
Elizabeth Warren has certainly caught on. She is now maybe not the official, but the unofficial progressive candidate. Bernie Sanders has dropped by the wayside. He is not being considered serious. People are turning out for Warren, and Warren is a alternative to Joe Biden and an attractive one for many, many Democrats. Right now, I would say it's anybody's race to win, and I think there's a very good chance Warren will emerge as the candidate. As far as Washington Square Park, I know it well. I was NYU PhD and spent an awful lot of time there. That's a big area. And to have every single spot taken is a pretty big affirmation. We've seen all of the Trump rallies. This is one which seems serendipitous and seems a lot less put up as a put up job than the Trump rallies.
And then you have this. Also in the Times today, age isn't hurting 2020 Democratic leaders to rivals' chagrin. Younger candidates are running as agents of generational change, but the septuagenarian frontrunners seem impervious to age-related attacks.
Well, we saw what happened to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She did well. She called herself a Democratic Socialist. It caught on with an awful lot of people in that particular district. It scared the hell out of all kinds of senior Democrats, and they should be scared because primaries are meant to be primaries. And while I think that Cortez does create a problem for the Democrats because many of the Democratic blue districts are moderate districts, and we can see that because we know that Donald Trump and his people are doing everything in their power to identify the entire Democratic Party as being, quote, Democratic Socialists. So you better believe what was once considered ho-hum, this is just a primary which I have to win, I don't even have to show up, everybody's taking them seriously now.
Finally, next state legislative session may wrap early for campaigning. This is from Jimmy Vielkind in the Wall Street Journal from yesterday. But he says the New York State Legislature could adjourn its annual session before Memorial Day, an early exit that is being contemplated to give members time to campaign before primary elections in June.
Hey, David, you better believe I know these people. And if it's good for them, they're going to do it. The Democrats control the Senate. The Democrats control the House, the Assembly in New York. If they decide that they don't want any problems, they're going to be put out there. And it does get right down to the concept of, when in the world are we going to have term limits for these people? They take such advantage that it's time to put a stop to it.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Let's keep on going.